Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Wednesday afternoon. Just did all kind of prep stuff. Let me say a few words about the parsha. We have a sponsor, Baruch Hashem. Someone filled in the plate. A good friend of our podcast, Michelle Epstein. Thank you very much. And he's opening a new practice, but I'll get the information later. Anyway, we're looking at Parshas Tzav, which is usually considered pretty boring, but I want to share with you a couple of ideas. We tossed around at the shiur had this morning with the ladies. As you know, and I hope you don't mind getting a little bit of homiletical here. Well, this is what strikes me. Since I was talking this morning about this difficult matzav that we're all in, the Jewish people are in terms of the war in Gaza, the Parshas Tzav, Vayikra Tzav, it's all about karbonos. Today, the karbonos, sadly, are human karbonos, the soldiers in the army getting killed and wounded. As we all know, is the ones you say Tehillim for all the time, Mishaberichs and things of that nature. And it just struck me, I can't help being a little rabbinical over here, it struck me that a lot of it can be interpreted in terms of the various forms of karbonos that you find in Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Tzav, because as far as I can think, what do you got? You got your Ola, your Chatas and Asham, you got your Shlomim and Toda, I think that's it. As one, you know, Bechor and so, but I'm just saying, those are the basics, right? Your Ola, your Chatas, your Asham, your Shlomim and your Toda. And right off the bat, the very notion that people pay, have to sacrifice because of a Chatas and Asham. I know in the Torah it's talking about animals, but today we have the poor soldiers who are having to sacrifice them themselves for the Chatas and the Asham of the Israeli government society and the whole assumptions they've been operating for years. Chatas Asham is a very appropriate kind of term because, as you know, a Chatas and Asham are not for Mezid. They're for Shogeg. But what's the definition of Shogeg? If it's a completely unforeseen circumstance, that's not a chatas, that's an onus. There has to be some degree of criminal negligence, shall we say. In other words, the person didn't mean to do it, but he should have known better. Which is an interesting concept when it comes to averus. So this is mamash what's happened with the Gaza Strip, with the Hamas. By now, it's a commonplace that everybody, especially people in charge of Israeli security, should be on top of the situation and awake to the real dangers that the Hamas posed. But they talked themselves out of it, the Israeli security services and so forth, and Bibi and the whole government, the right and the left, because they didn't want to see it serious. That's how you call a chatas and ocean, that's criminal negligence. Right? And I'm not even talking about the fact that by now you and I know that had a belt of warnings, you know, the night before, the day before, even before that, and they were asleep at the switch. As you said, they got caught with their pants down. And it's interesting, I read the other day, they were chayshish that maybe they'll come in Yom Kippur, like the 50th anniversary Yom Kippur surprise attack. But when they didn't, they said, oh, nothing to worry about. And that's not how you operate. Now, it's easy for me and you to sit here as, you know, Monday morning quarterbacks, as they say, and after the fact, you know, specialists. That's what historians do. I hate to tell you, right? And I don't know if we saw it or didn't see it, but it's mamash chatas and osham, and we have now karbonos for chatas and osham. And it's a shame that the people who are paying the price are not the ones who actually did it, but as a society, as representatives of society. You know, it's a difficult thing, but you have to admit the truth. I fear that if and when all this is over, even if Israel is successful, the politicians will say, that it wasn't our fault for this reason or that reason. That is the derech of politicians. Because the whole thing, like I mentioned this morning, is who gets the blame, not what happened. See? As long as I don't get blamed, it's nishka ferlich. And that's not really the right way to be. The Torah says, if there was a chatas, there's Zashon, you actually have to do his vadu vidui, which is a very interesting concept, because if you think about it, at least if I think about it, vidui, to me, has two functions, both of which are very important. I'm not sure which is more important. One shot in vidui is, you know, when you bring the carbon, one shot in vidui is contrition. I did something wrong. I feel bad about it. I'm not hiding it. I'm not denying, right? There's no hachash of. You say you did it. When a person, you know, has a tiny against someone else, whatever they did, and the other person doesn't even acknowledge it. I mean, that's the worst part. If the person says, I did it, I'm sorry, at least they got to that degree of clarity, and maybe you can forgive them or not forgive them, but you move on. If they never admit in the first place that they did anything wrong, it's a poison situation. That's the problem with these countries like Putin and these others. They never did anything wrong. You understand? It's never their fault. It's always someone else's fault. And they lie and deny and deny and lie. That's how it goes. The Arabs like that too. Arabs like that too. It's never their fault. And so vidui means, which is a major part of the Baker and Sav, vidui means that you have to say, you know, chatosi avisi pashaiti, you know, and I'm not, you know, how do you say it? She'ein onu ozapanim loimer lefanecha, Hashem al kimbe l'avseinu, tzadikim anachnu v'lo chatanim. That's the worst, to deny. So that's one point of the vidui. However, a second aspect of vidui, which is very important, is that you verbalize what you think is the sin, whereas, in point of actual fact, that might not be the big sin you did. That's very common. Like I say, you know, you go and you shoot your neighbor and burn the body and, you know, destroy the family. And then you say like this, and that guy was a real mamzer. And then after you go to base of Mishra, you say, what was your avera? I called him a mamzer. That's not the big sin, baby. You just kill everybody. You see? The purpose of vidui is clarity, moral clarity. What was the avera? That's what I'm talking about when they talk in the aftermath of this Gaza business. I mean, what was the avera? You know, if a person says, well, I wasn't informed, this, that, the other. So you have no real clarity on the vidui. And then there's no, what's the right word? There's no closure. This kind of happened after the Yom Kippur War. They set up that commission of inquiry, and they gave out blame to this one, that one, but they exempted a lot of people, especially famously Moshe Dayan and others. And they knew what they were doing. They did it on purpose. And the result was there was no satisfaction on the part of the public. That's actually what led, I think most would agree, to Begin coming in 3 years later. You know, they said, Genug Shein. Not that the Likud are tzaddikim, but that was the public's way, in my opinion, of saying, you know, out with the people who don't recognize what the real sin is, right? By the way, the same thing is true in Israeli politics with the Sephardim, that the The left wing, the laborers and all that, never admit that we did something wrong to you back in the early days when we brought to Israel and messed you over. They might give other things they're wrong, but they won't be misvadeh when the ikra avera. And that means they get no slicha. So you see, the concept of the chatas and the yoshan is very heavy. And really, to me, speaks very much to the current situation. But you also have the Ola. And what's the pshat with the Ola? The Ola, as we know, is mechaper for the machshavas, right? For the machshavas. And the that's why it's a voluntary offering. It's the Ola Tzedava. I'm talking about at the Yochid level, not at the Tzibur level. So, I may have thought something about you, a bad machshava, or about anything, or about Hashem, right? Nobody knows about it. Nobody can know about it, except me, myself, and I. And I'm going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, just personally to wipe the slate clean, because I think I have blood on my hands. I have some avera on my hands. That's why the Ola is of its character that it can never be a chovitz and a nedava. Because nobody knows what you thought. Understand? How can somebody know? And again, the idea of machshavas ros, wrong intentions, I mean, that's what this war is all about. They completely misread the situation. And I'll say this, that a number on October 7th, October 8th, a number of generals and big shots and others, including Gallant, by the way, said, Chotose visi peshaiti, it's our fault. Those are Makabalach Rayas, not Bibi. And they just want to see the war through to the end. So I assume, based on that, that if Israel wins the war, halavai, they'll resign. The end of their political career. They say, we made a terrible mistake. And the only way to be mechaper on it is to sacrifice our political careers. So that would be, again, a modern carbon. And if you're a politician and you live for this stuff, to give up your political career is takar carbon. It's not the same thing as a poor young soldier getting hurt or killed or something like that, chas v'shalom. But it's a hakrova, right? You're saying, I really could be vice prime minister, something like that, but I'm not going to do it because, that's an inner thing. And that's only something that somebody can do himself. Now, mind you, again, when the person brings the Ola, it goes to the Kohen. I've said it many times. In this regard, the priest in the temple is a kind of like a Catholic priest. In the sense that you have to confess and tell them what it's all about. And if the Kohen is up to snuff, he will talk or do what I just said before, and that is, what are you bringing this for? Because I had bad machshavas. What kind of bad machshavas do you have? I don't know. I was jealous of somebody on TV, and I was thinking about killing my neighbor. But what really bothers me is I was jealous because I saw something on television. That's what you think the Beit Machshav is the Kohen supposed to say? Buddy, you got your Machshavas Rose about somebody you wanted to kill. That's Machshavas Rose. Or you, didn't believe in something, or, you had fake, whatever the case is. The Kohen's job is to help the person, like a shrink, help the person see what exactly was their big Machshavas Rose. Because it's the nature of people, and I'm not in the shrink business. Although, to tell you the truth, our sponsor today is, I see, just sent me that they're opening a new specialty practice in Lakewood, New Jersey for OCD and related disorders. Whoa. And it's called New Jersey OCD and Related Disorders Treatment Services. And the number is 732-523-0272. I'll say it again, 732-523-0272. And that's a, let me put it this way, Lakewood and Baltimore, we're going to have more than their share for OCD, you know. And he says, I've been doing it for 20 years and want to make specialized treatment more widely available through the clinicians we are supervising. So I'll mention this at the end of the podcast also. He just sent it. And maybe later in the day for another one. So, but what is the point of a person who's a therapist or something like that? To make you see what you did wrong. Notice, you bring a carbonola for something, I'll bet you money, a lot of times, the person goes to Beis HaMikdash, brings the carbonola up, and he said, I had this or that, machshava ra, and it turns out that's not the big problem. The other thing you have machshava ra is a problem. You understand? And that's how the Torah sets it up. Interesting way. Now, it's through the medium of animal sacrifices and all that. That is true, but the ikar is not the sacrifice of the animal. The ikar is the hakara atzmis that you have to get as a result of this process. And then you got your Toda and your Shlomen. The whole war that we're fighting now is literally a Karbon Shlomim. It's a sacrifice of soldiers and others to get Shalom. Israel's not engaged in a war of conquest. Despite what the media says all the time, they're not engaged in a war of genocide. They'd like the whole thing to be over tonight. They'd like to kill that Mamzer, what's his name, Sinwar, and these other guys, who are the leaders and the perpetrators of all the terrorists, and who say that they do it again. You know, they say they'll do it again, and so you've got to get rid of them, and then go home, back to regular life. They don't like the soldier life. I myself know, and you, I'm sure, know, people who are in the army, and they'd rather be home with the family, right? Especially the ones that now got furlough for a little bit, and they got to go back, I think, in May and June. Of course, they'd rather be home. So the whole thing is a Karban Shlomim. It's a peace sacrifice, not a peace offering. That's not the correct term for Karban. It's a peace sacrifice, meaning they're sacrificing of themselves, their time, their place, their health, and hopefully not more than that, but sometimes more than that, for Shalom, for Shlomim, right? It's interesting that, you know, the Karban Shlomim is probably the most ubiquitous, I think, of all the Karbanos, I imagine. It's brought at different times of the year. But nevertheless, what does it mean? Karban Shlomim is a sacrifice for Shalom. Now, there are countries that don't think that way. I mean, go to tell me now the Russian army fighting Ukraine is fighting for Shalom. Right? Or these countries that like to conquer and whatever they do, or these ISIS types and things like that, they're fighting for Shalom. They actually like Muhammad. We don't. You know what I'm saying? We don't. We're trying, you know, just to get Shalom. If Israel could get real Shalom, they'd give away everything. I don't know if that's a good idea, a bad idea, but if they really could get Shalom, of course you can't. But I'm just saying, the idea of Karban Shlomim. As a matter of fact, the great machlokas in Israel, between the left and the right, is what exactly is the Karban Shlomim? The left says, make a Palestinian state and all the rest of it. As a result, you get Shlomim. The right says it won't work that way. Then you'll have like an ISIS, Hamas attack on a bigger scale. You read and I read like we do. They're already digging tunnels, you know, near the Israeli towns in the center of the country, Hashem Yiracham. So the notion of the Karban Shlomim is again one that's very nogeah. And finally, you have the Karban Toda, which is again very interesting because, again, there are sacrifices, but that's what patriotism is. It's a sense of thanks for the country. The guys that are putting themselves on the line, and the girls, putting themselves on the line, if you think about it, that's the way, that is their way of saying thank you that we have a state. Thank you we have a country. The world would be worse off, at least we would be worse off, if we didn't have a country. With all the problems it has, and with all the sacrifice they required. But the history of Klal Yisrael is not a great one when they're homeless. Despite what the Torah character says. That's baloney. Historically speaking. That's just baloney. But on the other hand, a carbon toda means if it's necessary for to express my thanks, I have to be willing to sacrifice. sometimes sacrifice of zich. Now, it's hard, it's easy for me to sit here at this age, far away, and, bloviate. But nevertheless, it strikes me, right now, that we're looking at Parsha Tzav, Vayikra and Tzav, that to talk about the animal sacrifices they had long ago, and to ignore the human sacrifices that are being called on every day, every second now, whether a sacrifice of life, chas v'shalom, or limb, chas v'shalom, or time, or effort. And by the way, again, this is being sponsored by Shalom Epstein. They're opening a new shrink practice, specialty practice in Lakewood. PTSD. I mean, all these soldiers are going to come back. I hope I'm wrong. But I'm sure a belt of these soldiers are going to come back, assuming that we win. In the best case scenario, kind of scarred for life, you know what I'm saying? And I know the Israeli army provides you with psychological help and all the rest of it, but it's not pushing to see what they saw. And combat in general messes you up. It's just part of the hakrova that you pay. It's a sacrifice. And you hope that if the people around you are machshe what you did, like your family and your community and all the rest of it, and they consider you heroes, that helps with the PTSD. Not that I'm I don't claim to have, a shrink thing over here, but I know this from experience. The worst thing is like happened after Vietnam. You come back and everybody says, oh, you did a terrible thing. Which the left wing in Israel is doing. Which I think is terrible. You say, oh, the Israeli army are murderers. I'm not, Haaretz and those guys. The Israeli army are murderers. They're doing bad things. All the rest of it. Whatever you say, when this is over, the bad guys in Israel will say like this, you killed tens of thousands of Palestinian civilians. And what are these guys supposed to say? What were we supposed to do? That's who the bad guys were hiding behind. As you know, they have tunnels under hospitals, under schools, in fact, under bedrooms. So what are we supposed to do? But the left say, it doesn't matter. So what does that mean? They're trying to give them a pain, a psychological pain. I hope it doesn't work, of course. But the concept of sacrifice is not restricted to animals, okay? It's not restricted to animals. Somebody asked me at the class, the Beis HaMikdash comes back tomorrow, are we going to have the exact same way you have in the Torah? I said, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I guess. But on the other hand, as I mentioned, I think another time here, I think it was here, if the Beis HaMikdash comes back tomorrow, is it going to be low-tech or high-tech? And how's that going to affect everything? You understand? Is it going to be the way that it was once upon a time? And there's no adjusting for the belt of technology that's popped up recently, last century or two? I don't think so. Just on a practical level. You mentioned this before. If you're a Kohen, I'm already too old for this. If you're a Kohen, serving Beis HaMikdash, you got to go barefoot. Remember, they used to have Lishkas Beis HaMoked in the Beis HaMikdash? You run and warm your feet there, and then you run out again on the cold. So think about the fact if you were serving the Beis HaMikdash in November, December, something like that. And I think everybody listening to this has at least been Yerushalayim once or twice, at least, if not many more times. So you know what the weather's like there in the winter. So imagine you're a Kohen, and you got to walk around on the bare thing, with bare feet, on the marble or whatever it is over there. That's one of the reasons you get the rheumatism, arthritis, and whatever it is. Remember the Mishnah says in Shkolm that they had a full-time doctor in the Beis HaMikdash to help with stomach problems because of the carbonus and to help with the rheumatism and arthritis. They don't call it that, because of walking around in the bare feet in this kind of weather. So all I'm thinking of, I read in these rich Arab Gulf states, they got so much money to burn that they have like air-conditioned beaches. And those, they put air conditioning, something like under the sand on the beach. I'm serious. So you can have climate control. Do you think the Beis HaMikdash of the future wouldn't have some way to keep the floor warm for the poor Kohanim? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it won't matter. But it sounds to me like that's simply a common sense use of technology. I don't see how it would violate the hilchos of the kachem. And how would this affect the animals and the Kohanim and the Shechita and all the order? Vesach nish. But it's a fair question to ask. What will the Beis HaMikdash look like? Now, the main thing is, bring it back. B'mheri amen amen. But until then, it's going to require a lot of carbonus. I'm sorry, I wish I didn't say that. Because we have so many enemies around us. Some will be carbon chattas and osham. Some will be carbon olas. Some will be carbon totus. And some will be carbon shlomen. But, you know, what they all have in common is, it's going to require matan domim. Again, I wish it weren't that way. I'm not saying in a happy way. But this is simply an observation I make of the current matzav. Anyway, as I said before, I do want to thank our sponsor today, now and later. That's Michelle Epstein, who's writing to tell me that he and Dr. Aaron Tropper in Lakewood are announcing the opening again of their new specialty practice in Lakewood, treating OCD and related disorders. I don't think I've ever met a Jew who didn't have OCD or something. It's called NJOCD, New Jersey OCD, and related disorders treatment service. I'll start again. New Jersey OCD and related disorders treatment services. And the number is 732-523-0272. I'm very happy to do this advertisement for them. And he tells me he's been doing it for over 20 years. That I know. And he wants to make specialized treatment more widely available through the clinicians that they're supervising. So I imagine that's got to be interest to more than a few of the listeners over here, if you're in the New Jersey area, but more than that, I don't know. And once again, I want to thank them for sponsoring the Parsha today. And I'll return, hopefully, for the Haftorah. With that, I wish everybody a good day. Tomorrow, I'm going to be out of commission, so if I get the Haftorah in tonight, maybe it'll happen. I'm having a surgery on my hand, so I doubt if I'll be able to talk for do a podcast in the next several days, but we'll see.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidovidkatz.com.